I think most of us would admit that we understand at a head level that God is our Father. But what's that mean to understand that at a heart level? What's it mean to have God as our Abba, as our daddy? We're going to unpack that a little bit today. I pray this episode blesses you. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Sponsors, when they sponsor a child, have the opportunity to see firsthand the impact that you're making through letters and updates that you receive from your sponsored child. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you choose to sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get a text back with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or girl to sponsor. When you sponsor, we'll also send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my book, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today we are continuing this clutter series, for lack of a better word, where I'm just kind of sharing with you some of the thoughts and the feelings that God has been putting into my heart and my mind and my space and clearing out that clutter. And I think when we have clutter on our tables or in our bedroom or wherever it is, each of those individual things serve a purpose. But when they get piled on top of each other, that's when things can start to feel or look cluttered. And before we go into our next series, I wanted to clear out some of these things that have been weighing on my heart. And so today we're going to be in chapter 11 of Luke, and we will eventually be studying all of Luke together. But there's a specific portion of Luke that I want us to lean into today. In Luke chapter 11, it's a passage that is really moving for a lot of people, but it's one that has particularly resonated with me. And it's a scene where Jesus has really gotten to a place of physical exhaustion. And remember, he was fully God and fully man. So he experienced the kind of exhaustion probably that you and I have experienced many times where we've come out of a busy season of work or ministry or even social things. But he's exhausted because he has been engaging in ministry. And he has really had a lot of interactions with people. He's to a point where he wants to be alone, and he gets away from the crowd for a little bit, and he's finding this quiet place to pray. And pretty soon what happens is the disciples notice that he's gone. They don't know where he is, so they look for him. They go out to find him. And so they come through the Kidron Valley, and they pretty much just stumble over him. They find him, and he's on the ground. He's not speaking. He's not moving. He's just praying. And they had never seen somebody pray the way that Jesus prayed. This was a foreign concept to them. And so they said to him, "Teach us to pray too." And so when he gets up from the ground, one of the disciples says to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the words that follow are how Jesus responds. He says to them, "When you pray, say this." And so I'm going to read Luke 11, verses 2 through 4. It says, "Father, hallowed be your name." That word hallowed means holy. "Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that passage, I could be tempted to skip. It can sometimes actually be kind of triggering because I grew up in a kind of church that didn't so much teach about Jesus as more as they taught about religion, if you know what I'm saying. And so while I knew nothing about Jesus and the heart of Jesus and who he actually was, I knew this prayer by heart and I could recite it. And we recited it every time we went to church and every time I put on my special gown to do the special things on the altar with all the other, you know, people that were the same age. And I did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so sometimes when I read this passage, it gives me the ick, if I'm honest. And yet also, it's become a powerful thing in my life when I've realized what it's actually saying. I want to hone in on that very first portion where it says, Father, our Father. Those words with that prayer, maybe you're like me, can feel so familiar. Maybe so familiar that it doesn't even feel like a real prayer. It just feels like you're repeating words. And I want you to think about what those words would have sounded like to the original audience, to those disciples. Because remember, while God's word was written for us, it was not originally written to us. This is the context of this is with the disciples. And yes, we learn about the nature and the character of God, which is the same. We learn about Jesus and who he is and how he interacted with them, which is the same. But these initial words were to the disciples. So how would they have heard these words? For them, they would have been pretty revolutionary. Let's be honest. At that time frame and in that culture, you know, guys like Aristotle or some of the philosophers, the Greek philosophers at the time, they would acknowledge the existence of God, but they would have referred to him in really impersonal terms, really in a vague way. They had just this idea that he was out there, never in here. I'm pointing to my heart. And so while there was this maybe allusion to the existence of God, it was never a personal God. And then, of course, the culture of the Jewish people from Israel, the prophets did reveal God as a more personal God. He was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And he was more compassionate and there was this relationship aspect. But it was only Jesus who taught that God was our Father. And that really did shock the Jewish community. But think through this with me for a minute. If you take all the love of all the people that you know that have ever loved you and loved you well. In fact, if you took all the love of all the people that all of us know that have loved us well, and if you took all the people that have ever lived throughout all of human history and that will ever live throughout all of human history, and if you take all of the things about them that are good and kind and tender and loving, and you put all of those qualities into one single person, that person's love would still only be a shadow of the love of God, because God is love. That's the heart of God for you as God the Father, because God is not just a father, he's a good father. And this is what Jesus is teaching them for the very first time. Let me read Romans 8:15 to you, because it reminds us of the same concept. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba, that's the NAB version. That word Abba in the English, of course, means daddy or papa or my own dear father. Hey friends, with summer coming up before we know it, I wanted to share with you about one of our partners, Kids Across America Camps. For over 30 years, their mission has remained the same, to build Christian leaders by encouraging, equipping, and empowering urban youth and their mentors through camp and education. In both my own life and in the life of my daughters, camp has been a life-changing, future-altering experience. For many kids, this is not only the highlight of the summer, but their lives. Children and teens
kids dedicate their lives to Christ. Young believers put down deep roots in the faith. The food, the games, the sports, the friends, it's so much fun. With Kids Across America camps, many of the kids and teens they serve come from under-resourced communities. Finances are often the only thing standing between them and camp, between them and an extraordinary first meeting with Jesus. What happens if they don't get to come? Well, more of the same. Many of these kids will spend all summer in environments that will keep them from being exposed to the love of Jesus and potentially exposing them to more violence, more crime, more alcohol and drugs. But if you send them to camp, everything can change. You can give towards camper scholarships that can truly make an eternal impact in the life of one of these students. Every gift counts. Even small gifts can be paired together to help sponsor a child to go to camp. But please don't wait. Only a few weeks remain before camp starts, and we want every deserving child and teen to be able to attend. Go online to give KAACamps, that's camps with a K, .org/hearingjesus. That's KAACamps.org/hearingjesus. And just like we typically in the American culture experience our babies saying dada first, you know, we try as we might to get them to say mama, they always say dada first. In that ancient first century, ancient Near Eastern people group, the words that would be first on the baby's lips in that culture would have been Abba. And so for Jesus to make this connection for them, that God is their Abba, well, I mean, let's face it, it's nothing that they've ever heard before, and it changes the whole trajectory of how they are living their lives for the Lord. This understanding of who God is in this personal way that wants to abide with them and be in relationship with them, it would have been quite the shock for them to even understand that. Because what Jesus is saying is that this Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the universe, he is our daddy. That's essentially what that word Abba means. It means daddy. And he's making this distinction that as a follower of Jesus, we have access to the Father, our Abba, Father God, in this close, personal, intimate way. And, you know, I'm just going to share something personal to me. I don't know if I've shared it on the podcast or not before, but bear with me if I have. You know, growing up, I grew up in a family that was far from healthy. And we were, you know, very poor. We did not have extra money. There was a lot of times where I did not get new school clothes, or we had one pair of shoes and that's that. So too bad if you get a hole in them or something like that. And so my entire life, like many other children, I always had this dream of going to Disney World. And it was a pipe dream. We could never afford it. We couldn't even afford the Disney Channel, let alone a trip to Disney World. And I was in high school when my parents made the decision to take my brother to Disney World, and they left me behind. And the reasoning for that was because I had a part-time job. And I think there was other reasons at play, but my part-time job is the excuse that they had for leaving me behind, which I could have gotten off. But it was so hurtful to me because as a young child growing up, just longing to go to this place that looks so fun that you dream about your whole life, it was a lot of pain and a lot of hurt there to be left behind. And if I'm honest, that was a wound that I carried with me into my adult life, as immature as you might think that is. And I don't want to get emails about Disney if you are in disagreement with Disney World. I don't keep that to yourself. I'm just giving you this as an example. But when I was a children's pastor, this was a number of years ago, I was in a position of publishing. It was very early on in my publishing career, and I was writing for a children's pastor's blog. And it just so happened that the guy that ran the blog at the time, and it doesn't even exist anymore, but he basically said that whatever I wrote for him, I would be giving him the rights to. And I was not being paid at this time to write for him. I was just doing it to serve the body of Christ. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If I'm writing for you, these are also articles that I would give to my volunteer team and my staff. And the whole point of writing these things and sharing them is to edify and train the body of Christ in the area of children's ministry. And he said, well, this is just the typical way that it happens. And because I wasn't getting paid for it, I
really just didn't feel right about it, because I knew that if God had given me some sort of strategy or some wisdom in a certain area, I wanted to be able to share that with those in my life. But yet, it felt so hard to say, okay, give me these articles back, or I'm not going to write for you anymore, because I really did want to serve the body of Christ. And the Lord knew that. He knew those desires of my heart. And even back then, He knew that. And so I made the decision. And as I was in prayer, I just knew that God was telling me to step down from this writing opportunity. And so I did. I stepped down from this writing opportunity, and I told them that I would not be writing for them anymore. And within about 20 minutes, there was three things that happened. The first was that I got an email from my publisher of my first book, who I had previously sent some things into them, and they said, hey, basically, let's talk. We want to talk about publishing a book with you, which was, of course, geared towards children's pastors at that time. I thought, oh man, Lord, you were just waiting for me to give this thing over to you, to hand it back to me. And then there was also this invitation by another large group, which was a group of children's pastors, to come and speak at the conference that they were having. And so I made an appointment to talk through what that would look like. And then the third most amazing thing that had happened was there was this extra part where it described where this conference was going to be held. And so for me, it was just an honor to have a voice into that situation to train people. But then I realized that it was being hosted in Disney World. And as I sat there and I just looked at this email, it was an invitation to come and speak at a children's pastor's event in Disney World, including airfare and hotel and everything paid for. I just kind of sat there in shock. And then this previous scenario of childhood came to mind, and God said, I'm taking my baby girl to Disney World. And even now I get a little choked up thinking about that, because that was a hurt that I hadn't really told anybody about. I think my husband knew about it, or maybe my kids, but I hadn't really publicized that or told anybody about it. And yet God saw that. He knew that heart and that space and how that would just minister to me. And so God took me to Disney World, and I had the amazing privilege of pouring into people and then enjoying some time with my husband. He went with me, and we just had some fun in the park. And that was such a special moment for me. And to me, that's what I think of when I think of Abba. And there have been so many times in my life where God has not just been my father, but He's been my daddy. He's been my Abba. He's reached into those places that are hurting and wounded and broken, and He's saying, come here, baby girl, let me take care of that for you. And so that's what I think about in this moment, this aha moment the disciples have when Jesus says, our Father, Abba, God is your Father. He's not just out there. He wants to be in here. He wants to be involved in the day-to-day, in and out part of your life in a way that's a blessing to you and helps you feel loved and protected and honored and cherished, because God is love and He loves you. And so I think the thing that I want to leave you with today is just this idea of Abba as Father. And is that how you pray? When you're praying to Him, do you think about Him as God out there, or do you think about Him as Abba, as Daddy, as this intimate one that knows the prayers of your heart, even the ones you don't say out loud, even the ones that you think don't matter, even the ones that you think you've brushed aside? Because as a Father, not just a father, but a good father, He longs to come into those broken, hurting spaces in our lives, no matter what they are, and heal them and speak life into them. That's my prayer for you, that you would know Abba, you would know the Father and His love for you. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the way that Your word reveals Your heart for us as Your children, and that You are not just a father, but You are a good father. And for those of us that maybe have not had good experiences with our earthly father, God, I pray that You would start to heal those spaces, that in such a personal way, just like You did for me, that You would do for my friends, that You would help them to understand that You long to have that intimate relationship with them, and that You are the healer, that You are love. God, I thank You so much for the way that You reveal Yourself to us over and over, for how much You love us. I pray for a blessing over my friends today, that they would experience the tangible presence and the reality of Your love. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Hey friends, before you go, real quick, I want to let you know that we have extra resources at shehears.org to help you grow in your faith. Whether you're looking for a new Bible or Bible tabs or additional Bible studies, I've curated a selection of some of my favorite things that I think you're really going to love. So with Easter coming up, I want to offer you 10% on the store. If you go to shehears.org and go to our shop on the resources page, you can enter the code HearingJesus for 10% off between now and Easter. Happy shopping! Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.